many singers, they try to imitate the sound of the wind blowing through the leaves. So they try to reproduce this kind of thing for their own pleasure. Then they can listen also to the water, you know, the stream running down from the mountains, and they try to imitate the sound. And some of the people say that this kind of thing, they imitate the sound of the nature, and they think of the voice of the spirit.
There is an indivisible unity with the beat of her giant heart. The river of rushing fluids. The drone of her voice. The rocking of her laughter. Or the soft heaving of her crying. The shock of birth creates separation. There becomes self and other. And the never-ending desire to rediscover the oneness with all things. The wounding of separation initiates the first gasp. The first gasp initiates the first cry. The cry is carried by the first breath. The voice, intertwined with the breath, becomes the living interface between the inner and the outer. The wounding of separation echoes throughout life. The voice sings from a time before law, before the symbolic took one's breath away. Within each woman, the first nameless love is singing.
Has got her eyes up off the ground, keeping time to the rhythm of the city sound. Why don't you come join my party? Let's move it to the break of dawn. Gotta hear the music singing, bring it on.
Uh-huh. Of all my favorite dolls, my favorite was my clothes pig, a toy resembling a big, old-fashioned clothes pig, the old wooden kind. The clothes pig was imbued with magical powers, a magic voice, a squeak which could make all around it happy.
My little green clothes pig, you are rubbery, soft and green, and have happy painted on eyes and a little smile. You are always there, always happy, and your voice never changes. When I squeeze you, you speak to me, and I want to find some way of talking to you.
On weekend outings during the long trips in the car with the family, I could feel the tension in the silences which stretched across the highway, across the passing fields, gum trees flickering grey-green behind blurring telegraph poles. I spoke with your voice and brought your happiness to our family. Laughter fractured the silence, and again I became part of them. Until the silences once again froze the negative spaces between us, slowly petrifying our minds, hearts, and voices. Opera was an obsession which consumed my father. Over the years, he became increasingly possessed by his favourite divas, who would greet him when he returned home from work in all the glory of their full, rich voices.
We all struggle to be heard by our father, but he prefers the voices of Joan and Kiri.
There was no room for me in the world he shared with them. It was his and his alone.
Their invisible bodies swim around him, singing, cascading through his loudspeakers. Every evening they are with him as our mother serves him dinner on a tray in the living room.
At other times, when he wished for more intimacy, they would creep through his headphones and curl up in his ears.
How can we girls possibly compete with our ordinary suburban voices?
I strove to become a diva, so then he might listen. Rather than the futile leaping and leaping at the promising fruit growing just out of reach on the branches of divas bowing seductively over the high dividing wall he built between us, I began to embrace my difference to them. My nails scraped down the wall. My fragmented self shattered on the ground of my body. The fragments rearranged themselves into new shapes, maintaining traces of the old.
Sunshine on a cloudy day, when it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. I guess you'd say, what can make me feel this way? My girl, my girl, talking about my girl, my girl.
A transformation took place. The opening of internal eyes from deep within. A new seeing that traced inner contours and resonant bodily spaces. Teenager, I would visit the old cell block theatre situated in the heart of the city, where no one was there. Once a convict women's prison, the heavy sandstone walls had marks remaining of the solid iron rings to which the women were once chained. The barred windows of the prison were very high and small, allowing a minimum of light to filter through, barely illuminating that dark, empty, cool interior. Standing in the middle of this space, facing the back wall of the theatre, I would sing. The resonating voice around the walls defining me in this space, shaping the inner and outer contours of a strong body. Outside the prison, a bird sat brushing the bars of the single window which punctuated the dark back wall with a little dazzle of afternoon light. I tried to meet the bird's song with my own prison song. Spinning, spiraling, weaving through the bar, touching the bird, becoming it. Becoming the flock it flew to when darkness fell.
But it's about opening your ears and thinking, well, there's not just one way of expressing emotions and ideas through voice. There's many different ways.
I can't always guarantee to sort of imitate your exact pitches.
No.
Because it's, I mean, this is a keyed instrument, a valved instrument, basically.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
If you have to think about it too much, we lose it. So it's sort of a matter of kind of building up a chemistry, building up a collective instinct.
This land called me to stretch my legs beyond urban life and take steps into its heart of open spaces and stories which reach far beyond any notions of life and memory that I had ever known. I took a year to wander through the landscapes of the northern and central regions, with its mallee scrub and red-orange earth, escarpment and resonant skies. Where I met others whose roots reached deeply into the land. The journey continues, travelling from southern to northern hemispheres.
Yes, and then you sing U and you go to E by thinking of U. Nah. Very good. Now the second style. You say O and you pronounce like ngo. Ngo a ngo a. Yes. Now the second style with the tongue up. With the top of the tongue, you touch the palate, you divide the mouth into two cavities, and then you, with that, you can jump up to the next floor of the overtones. You see, you pronounce the letter L. L.
L.
Yes, from there. You say R and then you pronounce exactly with the first exercise R or R.
Sort of done exercises before on, you know, the kind of use of air up and down your range and getting used to using those muscles to control how fast the air's going. Do you want to do one?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Okay, so we're going to do
I'll have to do it on. I can't do. I'll do it.
Singing, you've got to use your body a lot more. And by your body, we're really talking about the intercostal muscles, right?
Right.
and your lower abdominal muscles down here.
Right.
We're saying that the muscles that are used in your upper body, which are only kind of like secondary breathing muscles, you don't really want to be using those at all. You want to be free in your upper body for expression and for movement and the power and the energy that you're going to be using to give your voice power and authority is going to come from the lower half of your body. It's that center area.
In Siberia, some shaman imitated the voice of the bear because he tried to call the spirit of the bear to get inside of his body. And we have the impression that is the bear in front of you. And then they have like the tiger in Southeast Asia. And you really hear, you know, the sound of the tiger, because the tiger is the protector, you know, the animal for protecting the people in different villages. In the voice, we can imitate musical instruments. For example, in Mongolia, singers can use the voice and to imitate the flute in such a way that you cannot recognize which is the flute and which is the voice. In Vietnamese, we have a different way of playing the drums, like tong rong tang rang kak tak ra sham dat ru kak 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 tum rup kak tum rup kak rak rak kak kak tum rup kak tum rup kak kak rak thang thang tang thang thang tang 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 thang rak kak 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 tang rup kak kak tat ru tat tat ru tat tong tang tong tang. So you see that on this thing, and then we play.
That's what makes, you know, music interesting, is the range of vowels on different pitches are going to have different emotional connotations and different colours.
Right.
Being brave enough to really experiment with colour.
Mm. Yes. And well, not just these notions of beauty, like, you know, that,
yep,
that we're sort of conditioned with, you know.
Very sort of culturally bound, I think,
yeah,
you know. You certainly find that in classical music, that what's a beautiful sound, you know, what's an acceptable sound is very much a product of the history and what we're used to listening to.
Do you think
to.
It is a product, or it's actually there's an innate sense of beauty and balance?
I think it's a product.
To amplify on these things, you have the chest resonator, you have the throat resonator, you have the mouth resonator, you have the nose resonator, you have the sinus resonator. The only things that can make the and the sound vibrate inside of the whole head. So the vibration, it gives you lots of give you the energy.
The The voice is a sonic diary of life's experiences inscribed into the body. Singing is a mapping of the soul. The journey with the voice only ends with life itself. There is no resolution, just an ongoing process as cyclical as breath itself. Singing awakens the body by vibrating life into its myriad spaces. Transforming them into acoustic amphitheatres through which the voice can resonate.
I breathe. I find the roots of my voice in my abdomen.
The chest and the back open, rise, expand. The soft palate and the larynx rise and fall, contract and expand, following signals from the musical intentions of the mind. The tongue shapes.
Overflowing into my head, into the resonant spaces of my nose, cheeks, and forehead.
Tiny air pockets in the millions of cavities of the skull vibrate, exciting the pineal gland, transforming the nature of experience.